Thanks for coming out. For our new guest, I want to just say it's awesome to have every one of you with us today. And those that came back after being here last Sunday, pretty great to have you back with us today. And I'm going to just take a moment and say, I want to say a big thank you. Last week, if you were here, last week was one of my favorite days of the entire year, maybe one of my favorite days ever. The message last Sunday, the video message last Sunday was exceptional. It was really good. And guys, I need more of this up here, maybe a little bit less of this in the house. But the message last week was so good. And we had so many volunteers that worked throughout the week. And it was such a great day. In fact, there were so many comments on Facebook and people sent me messages and talked afterwards and said, just to be a part of this church and the fellowship that was taking place last week. And they said, one person said, man, if we built this building just for the foyer for last Sunday, it was worth it. I mean, it was just a great day. And so thank you, everybody, for being a part of that. And I don't know if you enjoyed it or not, but will you make sure all our visitor, volunteers that worked so hard last week, will you let them know how much we appreciated them? Yep. Okay, I'm just going to take a moment here, and I'll just tell you right up front here, like, I'm on the verge of losing my voice. Josh is out this Sunday, as you can tell, and so consequently, like, I sang really hard today. But let me just say, if today's the last church service I ever get to sing in, I want to give God everything I have. I want to live my life like this moment means something. This worship means something. Like, this is my opportunity to just slip into the presence of God and find him. And I'm going to give him everything that I have. And so I hope there's somebody here with me like that today. So if my voice sounds like it's a little bit thin, it is. You'll just bear with it and you'll hear the rest of what I have to say just the same. We're starting a message series on relationship and marriage. And ultimately, we're going to talk on the last week about being a dynamic single, what it looks like to really serve God as a single. But let me just say, in the context of this, relationship rules, relationship principles, they transcend marriage. Like, if you have a great understanding of relationship rules in general, you'll carry that into a marriage with you. But if you lack those rules, if you lack those understandings, then ultimately you'll probably have some problems even in marriage relationship. And so today we're going to talk about something that I think is relevant to not just marriage, but to life in general. If you were to take a look, though, at the statistics of marriage, man, the statistics on marriage are dismal. They're just truly depressing, and they're well documented. But, you know, they say 50% of marriages do not make it. 50% of marriages do not make it. And if you're married 8 years or less, let me see your hand if you're married 8 years or less. Yeah, 8 years or less. Your statistics in this generation are actually higher for divorce. Congratulations. Aren't you glad you came to church to hear that today, you know? But and let me just go there, and it's something I don't really address a lot, but I have to address it in this context just the same. If you move in thinking that I'm going to go ahead and do this and it'll become a lifetime relationship, are you ready? You are investing, according to statistics, you are investing in a relationship that has only a 15% survival. 15% survival rate for a lifetime relationship with somebody that you're living with. And I just have to say, for me, I just feel like, man, maybe you just want to get on to the person you're actually going to spend the rest of your life with. Come, somebody say amen, bro. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just me. But regardless of where you are in life or where you came from, the statistics apply to every person, every relationship, regardless of education, regardless of your race, regardless of your economic background. It's a 50% chance of divorce. It's like the toss of a coin. Now think about that. 50-50 chance that your marriage is going to fall apart. And oddly enough, because of our society, we actually seem to be okay with that. It's like we've gotten okay with marriages not lasting. And in fact, the other day I was on Facebook and somebody put this out and I saw this. And so I'm going to go ahead and share this. This is one of those memes about marriage. Are you ready? 50% of all marriages end in divorce. But look on the bright side. The other 50% end in death. Isn't that awful? You know? See, you might stay in a marriage, but it still might not be great. In fact, it's possible to be in a marriage where you're faithful to the marriage, but you're not fulfilled in the commitment. It's possible to be involved in a marriage where you have decided that you're going to stay in it with for a lifetime, but you still lack intimacy. And many times there are people that you're in that 50%, you're still living it out, but the reality is this, you're not happy where you are. I'm hoping that you're going to get some rules, you're going to get some principles that are going to help you move forward. Here's another one, because maybe you're not thrilled about where you are. Here's another one I found on the internet the other day. It said, love is like living with someone that you want to kill, but you're not going to do it because you'll miss them, you know? Isn't that sick? It's like twisted, you know? Makes you really feel good about marriage or relationships. 50% odds. Think about that. What other significant place in our life would we buy into a 50% chance of failure? What other significant area of our life would we be willing to buy into a 50% odds against it? Imagine waking up in the morning, feeding your children cereal, and you find out there's a 50% chance that if you feed your children this cereal on a regular basis, they'll die of cancer. You'd stop that, you know? Imagine if you went to your bank and there was only a 50% chance that when you deposit your paycheck this week, there was only a 50% chance that you could get the money back. I mean, you'd look for another bank. Imagine if you had a cat and there was a crazy airborne virus and you found out there was a 50% chance that that cat would attack and hurt its owner. Imagine, who would you give that cat to? I'm sorry. Which brings me to the most important point today, and that is, why would you own a cat to start with? I'm sorry. Cat lovers, stay with me here. But my point about this is, where else in your life would you continue to invest if there was only a 50% chance that it would survive, that 50% chance that you'd get something back? You'd change what you're doing. You'd change your behavior. You'd change what you were investing into. Wouldn't you want to be able to improve those statistics in your own life? I think there's some things that we can do. I think there's some things that we can do in relationship, things that you can do in marriage that ultimately will improve those statistics for your life. I mean, think about this. When you go to get a driver's license, you have to get the book, you have to read the book, you have to learn the information, you have to go down and take a written test, and then you have to go down and you have to take a driving test, you have to get insurance, all that to get a driver's license. And you don't have to do anything but go down to the courthouse and put down $58 to get married. Maybe the most important decision of your life, and yet there seems to be no intention, no thought about what does it actually take to have a lifetime relationship, no investment in what it actually takes to go forward. Many people go into a marriage completely unprepared, but let me just tell you, if you're about to get married or if you're already married and you feel like maybe it's just really messed up, it's not too late. Today, I think there are some things that we can talk about, and I think over the next few weeks, there are some things that you can do, ultimately, that can turn around. I think maybe there are some things that you can commit yourself to, that maybe you'll consider being more committed to the person that you said I do to than the idea of what you're upset about. Will you consider being more committed to the person than to what you're upset about? Because you're making a choice. Am I going to be more committed to that or to the person? And when you took wedding vows, in the middle of your wedding vows were sandwiched four words. And here's the four words. From this day forward. Everybody just say it out loud with me. From this day forward. From this day forward, I'm going to love you. From this day forward, regardless of what takes place, for better, for worse, richer for poor, in sickness and in health from this day forward. And listen, just today, I want to say, if you came here today and your marriage is in trouble, if you came here today and you're not exactly sure what to do, if maybe you've made some mistakes already, let me just say, make the commitment to your spouse from this day forward. If you're sitting there with your spouse, will you look at them in the eye like the way you used to? You know what I'm talking about? Look at them with the reason why they married you and say, from this day forward, I do. From this day forward. See, many times what happens in our lives, we go through circumstances and things get messed up and people make mistakes. You make mistakes. Your spouse makes mistakes. And it seems like it stops us where we're going. In the Old Testament, there's a scripture that says, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And somehow we want to be able to receive that for ourselves, but we don't necessarily want to assign that or give that to the person that we're spending the rest of our lives to. We want it for us, but we don't necessarily want to give it back to them. So today, I'm going to challenge you today. Consider that from this day forward, I'm going to give new mercies. From this day forward, I'm going to give new grace. From this day forward, in fact, there's four more words usually comes towards the end of the vials. And here's what it says. It's so help me God. I'll honor you. I'll love you. I'll cherish you in sickness and in health. I'll give my life to you. So help me God. And maybe it's gotten to the place where you've come to the end of your resource or they've come to the end of their resource today. From this day forward, we're going to lean on God. I'll be faithful to you. So help me God. So where we're going to go over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about the dynamics that maybe cause relationships to fall apart and maybe some of the things that you can do today. We're going to talk about one of the big things that causes relationships to break down. I want you to turn with me to Galatians, the fifth chapter. We're going to read one verse. If you're not from church and like one of your big issues is that you really don't like all the Bible reading that goes on in church, today's going to be your favorite day because I'm only reading one verse. But it's a pretty big verse. Are you ready? Galatians, the fifth chapter. Here's what it says. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and then do not let yourselves be burdened again in the yoke of slavery. You were created for freedom. Our hearts yearn for freedom. In fact, one of the biggest decision makers, one of the biggest motivators in our lives is freedom. When we move out of our parents' house, anybody remember when you moved out of your parents' house? Why did you want to move out of your parents' house? You wanted to be free. So I'm going to say amen. You know what I'm talking about? You went to school and got an education, went all the way through that 4 years. For some of us, it was 5.5 years to get a 4-year degree. But you know why you did that? You went through all of that so you would have the freedom to make a good living. We make decisions, the cars we buy, the places that we live, we do it based on, we want portions of our life, we want our lives to be free. It's a big motivator. I want to be able to be free to choose what I do. I want to be able to be free to choose where I go and what I give my life to. Very interesting. What my desires are. I desire freedom. There are some other things. Each person, when you go to the altar, when you walk up to the altar, you walk with a box. Maybe you didn't walk up there with a real tangible box, but you walked up there with an invisible box. And in that invisible box were some things that you were bringing to your marriage, some things that you were bringing into that relationship. You were bringing some things and you were saying, I do to that person, but you were also saying, in it, I imagine that we're going to be financially secure together. I imagine that between your finances and my finances, we're going to be able to work this thing out. I imagine that for us. I say I do to you because I imagine that for our lives. I imagine that when I come home from work after I've had a really hard day, you're going to greet me at the door with a glass of iced tea, and you're going to hand me the remote, and I get to watch whatever I want to on television. That's right. Oh, you didn't say that when you went to the altar, but you carried that in your box. Are you ready? In this box, you know what it is? It's the box of desires. It's the desires that you took the altar that you might not have said to your spouse. You might not have even known that they were there, but they were desires that you had. You had the desire that on Sunday afternoons, you'd be able to watch football. And let me just tell you why. Because first of all, we know that football is holy because they play it on Sundays. And you have a desire. You have a desire that you're going to marry a person. It doesn't matter what town they came from, that they're going to support the same team you came from, you know? Because let me just tell you, if you're from Pittsburgh and you're marrying somebody from Cleveland, it's a deal breaker if you're going to follow the Browns, you know? So I have a desire to be a Steelers fan, and I desire that you'd be a Steelers fan too. Here we go. I do to you, and I imagine that we're going to spend time together. I imagine that we're going to sit down when you come home from work after I've handed you your tea, and you're going to sit down at the table, and we're going to talk about your feelings about what you did today. Yeah. I desire that. Here we go. Here's one that most people don't think about. Don't say it at the altar, but I desire for you to put the toilet seat down when you're done. Can I hear an amen, ladies? Amen. But let me go on the other side. Guys, we didn't say it, but ladies, we desire that when you get done, that you put the toilet seat back up. Desires. Here we go. Here's another one. I desire that when I came home from work that you'd greet me at the door. And when you greet me at the door, you would not be wearing this. Oh, I know, you know, that you'd be wearing something more pleasing. Oh, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, it would be this. No, it wouldn't be this either. I have some desires, and here's the deal, these are the desires of my heart, and they're going to make me happy. And so here's what we do. We don't realize it, but these are the desires. These are the things that we want in our lives. And when we go to the altar, and it might not be the first week, and it might not be the first month, it might not even be the first 6 months, but somewhere as you're living your life with that person, you take the desires out of your box and you begin to put them into their box. And at that moment, it starts to become an expectation. That it's no longer just about me and what I want. It's that you now have to fulfill my desires. You have to do what I need for you to make me happy and for my life to be fulfilled. I need you to work. Oh, there's stuff in here somewhere. I need for you to work your calendar around mine. There's a calendar in there. I need for you to work your time around. We're going to go where I want to go, where your desires have to become my desires. You're going to have to watch what I want to watch on television. And you might be able to go away from that for a month or two or 6 months, but somewhere down the road, eventually we begin to unload the desires out of our box and we begin to make them as expectations on the person that we're married to. And ultimately, as we do that, that's where marriages begin to struggle. That's where marriages begin to fall apart. And let me just tell you what the dilemma with this is that the problem with when you take the stuff out of here and you put in here, there's one common denominator still between this box and this box. And do you know what that common denominator is? Are you ready? It's me. It's my desires. It's what I want. I think we're supposed to have a big me up here, guys. And so, because it's big me. It's what I want is most important. It's what I want. It's my desires. It's the things that I'm looking for. I need for you to take care of my needs. And our marriage will be happy. Our relationship will work if you revolve around me. Those desires become expectations. And here's the dilemma with this is when there's an expectation of you fulfilling my desires and my expectations, there becomes an element in the marriage where there's no room for unconditional love. If I need this and you don't, you're challenging our love. If I want this and you don't give it to me, that's the end of the line. You can't have the demand of expectation and still have the condition of unconditional love. So here's what generally happens when we end up in this place where we're taking the desires out of our box and we're putting them into expectations on somebody else. There are four things that happen. Here's the first one. Are you ready? The first one is that we leave. We just pack up and go home. Like, man, I expected so much out of her. And then she's like, he wanted too much. He didn't say it. And we didn't talk about that. But it was just too much. And I can't live under that. So gone. Walk out and go. Number two, are you ready? Here's the second thing. We conquer. Some of you are in a relationship that it's about conquering. And here's the dilemma with the conquering relationship. The stronger person always wins. The stronger personality, the stronger arguer, the person who has maybe a better position in argument, a better vocabulary, the stronger personality, the more forceful personality, they always win. And when one person wins, another person loses. They might not say it. But when one wins, one loses. So as you're winning the battles, the truth is you might be right, but being right will ultimately cost you in your relationship. You might get what you want, but ultimately it will cause the person to begin, are you ready? They will begin to feel like you have nullified their validity. And they will feel like the loser in the relationship. Here's the third thing that we do. Are you ready? We conform. Okay. I'll just do whatever you want. I'm tired of fighting. I don't want just whatever you want. We'll just do whatever you want. Go ahead and do it. I dated a girl many years ago for about a year and a half. And she was wonderful. Here's the deal about it was, in case you don't know this about me, I'm a rather strong personality. I'm not short on opinions. You give me a subject, I'll have four or five opinions about it, you know? I mean, I'm not short on decisions. Here's the deal. She was the same kind of personality. And we got along very well. Honestly, we loved being around each other. But what I found after about a year is I was constantly going, okay, whatever. You pick where we're going to go. Okay, you pick what we'll do tonight. And I would just simply conform to what she wanted me to do. And after about a year, I was like, there's going to be a day in this relationship where I'm going to have an opinion. There's going to be a day in this relationship where I'm going to want to go where I want to go. And as I started to do that, do you know what took place? The relationship fell apart. Conformity causes, it causes a conflict. It causes one person to always give up what they want for the other. And in the process of all of that, it makes you lose your own identity. Okay, here's the very last one. Are you ready? The last one is compromise. The compromise here, the dilemma with the compromise side of this is that I'll do this if you'll do that. Okay, I'll go to your mom's house for Thanksgiving if you'll go to my mom's house for Christmas. And I know that's an arrangement in a lot of places, but okay, I'll choose to have my friends and you can have your friends. I'll spend my money where I want to spend my money and you spend your money where you want to spend your money. I'll spend my time where I want to spend my time and you spend your time where you want to spend your time. And you know, do you know what is at the core of those conversations? I. It's still an I-centered relationship. I want what I want. I want out of this what I want. And the other person says, okay, I'll give you what you want, but I want what I want. And so I is still the center of the relationship. And at all times, in the middle of all of that, there is no place, are you ready? There's no place for the opportunity to have absolutely unconditional love because there are two big I's at the center of the relationship. If each of you go into the marriage, if each of you go in to the marriage, and it is really about what you're getting out of the relationship, if it's about what you're getting out of the other person. I hear people say this all the time, you know. They say something to the effect of, I'm committed to my marriage. I'm committed to my marriage. Listen, there's no place in the entire Bible where you're supposed to be committed to a marriage. You're supposed to be committed to the person. The person is way beyond the marriage. You're committing to an institution as opposed to, I'm committing that, are you ready? I'm going to help to fulfill the desires of the other person. In fact, I'm going to place their desires over my desires. Otherwise, what happens is you're managing your expectations and you're negotiating your expectations versus their expectations. And the reason why that doesn't work is because at all times, somebody wants to be in control of them. Somebody wants to be in control of that moment. Somebody wants to be in control of the expectations of what you're doing. And somebody is always winning and the other person is always losing. There's always a debt-debtor relationship that takes place. Okay, today we're going to go there because you wanted to go there, but you owe me. The next time we have to go where I want to go. Okay, we'll buy the TV you want, but you owe me, and we're going to have to buy the furniture I want. You owe me. Are you ready? You owe me, and I'm expecting you to pay up on your debt to me. And in that place, it begins to demean the other person. It begins to demean what they want. It begins to demean who they are. It squeezes out the potential for unconditional love. Because see, unconditional love isn't based on if I do this, then you do that. Unconditional love isn't based on if you do this, then I'll do this. Do you know what that is? That's a contract. And see, when you get married, you're not involved in a contract. I know in the generation we live in, like they call it a civil union and they call it a contract between two people. That's not what God calls it. It's a covenant. Do you know what happens in a covenant? It's very different. In a covenant, in fact, if you look originally, the Bible as we know it, Old Testament, New Testament is what we call, it was originally called Old Covenant and New Covenant. Do you know what the difference is between a contract and a covenant is? In a contract, if you break the contract, then the contract is broken and the deal is done. If you owe me and you don't do it, then the deal is done. But in a covenant, It doesn't matter if you fulfill your side of the covenant. I will always fulfill my side of the covenant. It's exemplified in Christ, who made a covenant with you and me. It doesn't matter if we're good. It doesn't matter if we're right. It doesn't matter what we do. He has a covenant with you and me that he will unconditionally love us. So when you begin to negotiate and it's you owe me and I owe you, and there's always a debt and a debtor, and there's somebody who wins and somebody who loses, it is at the expense of unconditional love. And you know what takes place? Is if I always have an expectation of you, if I expect something of you, and this is just like the bottom line, like ultimately, you know, if you don't wear something else, if you don't put the toilet seat down, if you don't go where I want to go, if you don't spend money where I want to spend, that's just the zero line. There's no, honestly, there's no way to even exceed that, because the ground level is just zero. It's the least of what you can do. And what takes place is when you just do what I expected you to do, there's no place for me to have gratitude, because it was in the contract. And let me prove my point about this. When you sign a contract with a mortgage company and you pay your payment, you tell them that you're going to pay a payment of $1,500 a month, and you pay your payment. It's in the contract. So when you pay your payment at the end of the month, they don't call you up and go, "Hey, thank you for paying that," because it was expected you to do it. There's no gratitude. But when you do something, not because it's expected, but because it's out of your heart, then there's gratitude. And in that gratitude, when that gratitude takes place, there's the opportunity for trust. There's the opportunity for love to flourish. There's opportunities for, on some level, for you to experience unconditional love. If you live with the IOU mentality, if you live with the IOU and you owe me mentality, then ultimately you can't even recognize when somebody gives a gift to you out of their heart because you expected it. So there has to be a place where ultimately it stops being about what I expected out of you, and there has to be a change in a covenant. It is actually about what I bring to you. It's about my heart for you and where my heart is for you. And so I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and here's what it says. Are you ready? It says, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church. If you back up, it says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. I know people really kind of choke on that line. If you want to go to the line before it, here's what it says. It says, submit yourself to one another. The context in the whole conversation is husband being submitted to wife, wife being submitted to husband. And let me just tell you, there are sometimes when I've heard people, preachers, men, I'll go ahead and say it, they're like, man, woman, submit. Okay, here's the deal. Is the next verse says, love your wife the way Christ loved the church and lay down his life for her. Okay, now here's the deal. Is the church perfect? No. Did he still lay down his life? Yes. Do we get it wrong sometimes? Yes. Did he still lay down his life? Yes. Here's what he's saying. You have to give. You have to submit yourself to the other person. It is no longer about me. It's no longer about my desires. It becomes about bringing the best me to this. Imagine being on the other side in a marriage where the person is always thinking about the best interest of the other individual. What's good for them? How they can bring fulfillment to their life. how they can, on some level, help them see. It's not a demand of their desires, but instead, I recognize what your desires are, and I choose to be there. I choose to bring that. Imagine being the recipient of that over a lifetime. Imagine what it would do, even if your spouse is not a believer and they're not really that nice of a person. Imagine what a witness for Christ it would be if you every day woke up with the idea that this is not about me. It's not about my expectations or my demands on you. Instead, it's about my desire to see your life experience unconditional love. Imagine being on the other side of that. So I'm going to close here in just the next few moments, and I want to pray with you. But before I close, I want to ask one question. Here's the one question, and I want you to write this down if you don't mind. What does your spouse owe you? I want you to go home today, and I want you to spend some time and think about that. Will you think about what does your spouse owe you? I don't think that we really get to a healthy place in our lives until you can figure out what's in your box, what's in the box of desires, and then ultimately what you put in their box, these expectations, because you have something out of that expectation that you think they owe you. And in them owing you, it makes them a debtor. And in the debt, there can't be unconditional love. So today, I'm going to challenge you. Will you consider finding a place of prayer? Will you consider finding a place where, Lord, help me to see what I haven't seen up to this point, the demands, the expectation I've placed on my spouse, and that instead I would be submitted to them, that I would love them the way you love the church. And gave all. Will you pray with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for your awesome blessings. I thank you for every marriage in this place, for the people that have come here to seek new direction and find a healthier path, for those that are looking for relationships in the future. Lord, if they're in a place where maybe the person isn't on the same level or on the same path with them, then maybe their eyes would be open and the other person's eyes would be open, that ultimately they'd educate themselves, that they'd open their hearts and maybe get some understanding of the direction that you have for a life and for a relationship. And Lord, we thank you for your unconditional love for us. And I pray that somehow in your grace and your mercy, you'll help us to demonstrate it. Demonstrate it to the world, that you'll help us to demonstrate it to those around us, and maybe quite possibly that you'll help us to demonstrate new mercies, new unconditional love to even the person to whom we said, I do. Lord, empower us in that, in the name of Jesus. Will you stand together with me?